to keep them from going public. Blog
Talk Radio.
He added Snyder would first intimidate those who dared to speak up against harassment and then fire them if the intimidation didn't work. The Senate Minority Leader is cheering the bipartisan gun safety bill that's on a fast track to pass by week's end.
The Senate took a big step to prevent mass murders, make schools safer, and protect the Second Amendment rights of law-abiding citizens.
Speaking on the Senate floor, Kentucky Republican Mitch McConnell said lawmakers don't have to choose between safer schools and constitutional rights. Bipartisan negotiations were prompted by the recent deadly mass shootings in Buffalo and Uvalde, Texas. The Department of Justice is settling its lawsuit with Facebook over its alleged discriminatory housing advertising. Phil Hewlett has details.
The DOJ claimed the parent company Meta targeted users with housing ads based on algorithms that relied partly on characteristics protected under the Fair Housing Act, like race, national origin, and sex. The settlement, which still needs to be approved by a federal court, would require Meta to stop using a special audience tool for housing ads.
You're listening to the latest on NBC News Radio.
Why choose proven quality sleep from Sleep Number? Because our Sleep Number 360 smart bed is really smart. It senses your movement and automatically adjusts to help keep you both comfortable. Plus, it's temperature balancing, so you stay cool. It's even smart enough to know exactly how long, how well, and when you slept, and to help you get almost 30 minutes more restful sleep per night. Sleep Number takes care of the science. All you have to do is sleep. During our lowest prices of the season, the Queen Sleep Number 360 C2 smart bed is only $899, only for a limited time. To learn more, go to sleepnumber.com.
And let's go ahead and take a look now at your Alternative Talk weather outlook for Wednesday. We'll see mostly cloudy skies with showers earlier on in the day. We'll see partly cloudy skies by the afternoon, high temperatures around 63, 64 degrees. Tonight, mostly cloudy skies, low temperatures back down to about 51. For Thursday, Friday, and for Saturday, more sunshine expected. High temperatures on the rise from the mid-60s to possibly low 80s by Saturday. Mostly clear skies through the overnight. Lows in the mid-50s.
The views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of KKNW, its management, or other advertisers. This program is sponsored by Dr. Pat Basile and Transformation Talk Radio.
You're listening to an encore presentation from the Transformation Talk Radio Network.
Hi, welcome. This is Dr. John DeMartini. This is one of the most amazing and inspiring shows that you can listen into. If you want to be on the edge of your seats, if you want to open up your heart, if you want to expand your mind, and you want to meet incredible people, stay tuned because you're just about to experience a transformative radio show that will change your life. And you're listening to the Dr. Pat Show is coming up right next.
Welcome to the Dr. Pat Show, talk radio to thrive by. Powerful, inspiring, and coming to you live, bringing you stories of people like you and me, busting through and living life full out. Get ready to dare to wonder what your life would be like if you knew you could not fail.
Okay, everybody, welcome, welcome. I got to tell you, we got a great show going on for you today. I was just reading Leslie's book, and one of the things that I read, Leslie Sampson, my very special guest today, I was reading a book, and then one of the things I was really struck by, I was struck by a couple things, is we know that in our lifetimes, right, if you think about this, and you think about it, let's say you meet somebody in your life, and you're rocking along, but yet you notice like this something, like about this person. You can't quite put your finger on it, right? You don't quite like understand, but you just have this sense. Like, let me just say, like the sense of eternity, let's say. You have it for a minute, and if you would just stop your brain from trying to explain why that's not logical, like why you should like dismiss things like off, like what if what you were feeling was something that is so absolutely perfect, but you just don't understand it. Today, find your twin flame. Understand and connect to your soul's other half with Leslie Sampson joining me here today. Leslie, just so you know, certified psychic medium writer. This is her book. She's like that vessel. See, I'm like the conduit between her and like you all. I'm like that conduit. But she's like the vessel. She's the one that will connect you with loved ones on the other side. But she's so much more than that because when you think about what she's written, whether it's fiction may know her by that, or whether it's this book, Find Your Twin Flame, there's a message in here. Ask yourself this question. Do you always have to follow logic or a linear line of thinking to know that you have a twin flame relationship mojo going on? That's it. You got that going on. Leslie, it's great to have you. Welcome to the show.
Thank you so much. I'm so happy to be here. Thank you for having me.
Glad to have you. So the thing that I want to talk to you about, I mean, there's so much in the book I do want to talk to you about, but I want to talk with you about sort of the misconceptions is a good word, maybe, because I've done a number of shows on twin flames, but when we look at it, we have not seen in the way you've described it, right? And I think you even ask is like, you even say, there kind of might be an easy way. There kind of might be this easy way, right? And I want to ask you, isn't one of the challenges that people have for this is they don't really want an easy way. They want this to be like super complicated, right?
Yes, they do. And it's just from my understanding and all of the research and the people that I've worked with, that they want to make it super hard. The twin flame relationship in itself is not supposed to be hard, but what feels hard about it is that when you meet the other half of your soul, it sort of starts that journey within as well. So you're doing all of this work within and getting rid of everything that no longer serves you or that you don't need. And so that is what makes it feel hard. And instead of working in tandem, a lot of times what happens is that the twins just can't deal with it. They have no way of understanding how to process what's going on. And instead of working together, they choose to, this is too hard, I can't do this. So
exactly. And can I just piggyback off that and just follow you along in the book? Because first of all, for those of you just tuning in, I mean, it's just amazing to be able to have Leslie joining me here today. She's so much she's doing in the world to really help us and bring a unique understanding to what I call now that which you cannot see. I should name that the title of my book. But because I live in that world, that which you cannot see. And one of the things that really gets people hooked up is the conversation about twin flames. First of all, just the name. Let's talk about what we mean by twin flame, because hallelujah for you putting a history in here. Thank you.
Welcome to you. I am so... This is the challenge where people get confused. A twin flame relationship starts at the inception of the soul. When a soul is created by God, the higher power of your understanding, a soul is created, it is then divided in half. And each half is a complete soul, by the way. It's not just like slicing an orange down the middle, okay? Each soul has the same spiritual divine DNA and the same soul blueprint. What makes them twin flames? Their soul blueprint has the exact same lessons. Now, they have obviously free will to learn those lessons however they can in their different incarnations, but the lessons are the same. And twin flames are always connected. They're connected by sort of like an umbilical cord at the heart chakra that's generated at the inception of the soul. So I think a lot of people get that confused with I call it the Disney concept, which is the idea of the one true love, you know, riding off into the sunset. Not saying that can't happen. I'm just saying that's not the purpose of the twin flame relationship.
But where do we get hung up then on the confusion around it? What do you think it is? And let me just get to this because, you know, I've done a lot of interesting shows recently on doubt. And I have one foot into the invisible world and I have another foot in our pop culture. And, you know, I started to talk about Benson's line in Dune, you know, fear is the mind killer, but doubt is the dream killer. That's for me. Doubt is the dream killer. That's where I live. That's what I say. And doubt that comes in anywhere, even in twin flame conversations, right? Tell me the impact of that.
The sad thing about it, when you have that little sliver of doubt, I'm a perfect example of that. My entire journey started because I did not believe that I had a twin flame, and I didn't even believe in the concept. I thought it was fiction. I thought it was not reality. So I said to my spiritual team, okay, prove it to me, you know. But had I just, you know, suspended doubt and just taken, you know, sort of a leap of faith, and that maybe I am really experiencing this. This is about trusting the self, you know. When you don't trust yourself, you lose such a genuinely beautiful experience. So for myself, I had trust issues all the way around, and I was able to, my team was able to work with that by going, oh, okay, we're going to show you mediumship and angelic communication, Akashic record, every conversation I had. So in the more that I was shown, and this happened to others with whom I've worked as well, the more that you are shown that, you know what, hey, you need to trust yourself, the less doubt there is. There's no room for it. It's almost kind of like it starts, you know, reality and truth starts crouching in on all of that space. And suddenly you wake up one morning and you're like, what was I doing?
Yeah.
why did I doubt? And that's exactly what happened to me. So I always encourage people that, yes, this is a crazy road to go down with their twin flame. It does not mean it's not true, and it's not right, and it's not valid. Trust yourself. That's the most important thing you can do.
And, you know, let's talk about the way that some of this can happen, because I think when you were sharing your own story in the book, you talked a lot about dreams. You know, mm-hmm. One of the other misconceptions that are so important to really talk about is the language we put on the soul. We put on the soul masculine, feminine. I mean, we put a thing out there. And then what happens is, you know, here you come into this world and you meet someone of the same sex and you have that connection that is undoubtedly, that is the deal, right? And yet, because of all the stuff we put on things here, we can't fully explore an earth-to-earth, right, twin flame, because we bring in so much baggage to that conversation, and yet the soul just will not let us not face it, right? I mean, you
right.
can kick and scream, but the soul's going to drag you down the road.
Exactly, yeah, because the soul knows. The soul knows it's matched. The soul doesn't care what the package looks like. All they care about is that's their match. And that's one of the situations that I came across in my research. And I started to go, divine masculine, divine feminine, wait a minute. If we're exactly the same on a soul level, that means that each one of our souls contains universal, masculine, and feminine energy, okay? Which is why we can incarnate whatever we want, okay? So it's not, I've incarnated as a female and my twin must be a man, because that belongs to the idea that it's a love relationship and that's the whole point and purpose, which, as we know, it is not. That's why I can say with 100% certainty that even if, you know, my twin is not on Earth, but if he, you know, if he were, in whatever capacity he came, whether male, female, a dog, a cat, it doesn't matter, because the soul recognizes each other. And I think more people need to understand that. Because now you have people who don't even, you know, they're non-binary or they don't gender identify. And the concept of divine masculine and divine feminine presents them and feeds into that doubt. Well, I can't possibly have a twin flame because I don't, you know, I don't claim to be masculine or feminine or whatever.
Yeah. I love the way you talk about it, because you really given us a chart. you say, wait a minute, there's this soul blueprint. Let me just, and then you go and you say, let me tell you about that. You don't say it. You write beautifully. So this is my paraphrasing it. You know, what you say is, wait a minute, this is like the soul source, your twin flame, right? Their soul blueprint is equal. There's a soul source connection. And then you also talk about, I love the way you describe sort of in process, the evolution, right? And you talk about energy. You talk about light work. You talk about sort of the essence of what might be going on here. Like, you're trying to explain it. Like, I will tell you right now, my twin flame is the producer that got you on this show, Linda.
Wonderful.
We have known each other since 72. And it's the strangest story you ever want to hear. But we found out also, she came to work for my phone company, the same company I worked at. We found out, okay, ready? Sterling Street in Plainfield, where we lived, they had lived, her family. I mean, it's just, when you look at this before I got a little bit aware of this stuff, you just think, wow, that's just weird. Now you're like, no, there's an energetic, almost like a road map, like we came in behind her. But I wonder if I knew that even then in my teenage years, right? Even though we didn't meet. And I knew of her in 71, 72 through a third friend. When we actually met, it was as if you've known this soul your whole life. And honestly, we've been through horrific times together. Her family almost, you know, literally adopted me. And yet, you can't explain this to people, right? The best we can do is say, this is the bestest friend I've ever had on the planet. But that is not cutting it. So you got to help us out here.
Well, honestly, I thank you for sharing that. Such a beautiful story and a wonderful realization, because a lot of people would literally just chalk it up to, this is my very best friend. And
yeah.
While there's nothing wrong with that, this is more of a soul enlightenment that, you know, your soul knows the story. Your soul knows what's going on. It knows the path that you've chosen to take before you incarnated. And it brings you ever closer. Now, it brings you closer to your twin flame, because you have to remember, you're walking parallel lives. You have the same exact energy, so you're attracted to the same things, you like the same things, everything from the kind of clothes you wear to even, music, it doesn't matter. You walk into your parallel life. And so I always call, this might be sounding a little funny, but instead of twin flame, I call my twin flame, his nickname is Chico, I call him my parallel partner.
Exactly.
My teammate, my divine teammate. And because it's more than just a relationship, you know. It's your divine relationship. This
yeah.
is the soul that was created for you. Now, if it's a loving relationship, fantastic. If it's not, fantastic. But still, this is the soul, the one soul in all of creation that can understand you on way more levels than anybody else in your existence. So that's hard to put. I mean, it's hard to put in one
sentence. It's hard to put in words, right. You know, the closest I came to a feeling around this is in another story, and I'll share that later if we have time. But there's also to tell people that there are two types of twin flames, because this is where I think people, you know, get lost a little bit.
Yeah.
Jean Houston said it really beautifully to me one day in I was one of the first people to take her leadership workshop way back, and it was amazing. And she had us communicate with what she called our quantum partner. Right?
Okay.
Now, you know what I'm talking about.
Absolutely.
And so some people, right? And some people didn't. But there are two types of twin flames, and sometimes we look for the one that's in the physical form, like Linda. But that isn't always the case. So tell us about the two types.
Well, the two types that we talk about in the book are incarnate and discarnate. Now, incarnate is, you know, like Linda and yourself. You're both here on Earth. It can also be one of you could be on a different planet in a different solar system as well, and you're still living a life. But if you have a physical presence, you are incarnate. And that is what I would say probably at least 100% of people really truly want. They want to meet their partner. And I get it. I totally get it. But that's not the only option. The other option is discarnate, and that means that you are a soul that exists outside of the physical. Now, that could be someone who is on the other side or someone who has transitioned from this life to, you know, to the other side. Basically, it means you don't have a body. So
yeah.
That's kind of where myself and my twin flame fall in, and he passed away several years ago, but he is on the other side. And believe it or not, that is actually the most popular method when it comes to the twin flame relationship, because it's almost kind of like one of them is on the other side kind of reading the blueprints as you go along to make sure that you're on the right path and guiding you. And then the other one is incarnate and desperately trying to follow the lead that they feel within their soul. So nobody really wants to hear about the discarnate, which makes me sad.
They don't.
Because it's, to me, there's no impediments. There's no really ego. I'm a medium, but you don't have to be a medium to communicate with those on the other side.
But I know why they don't, though, right, Leslie? Because one of the things we're afraid of is that twin flame will be less than the one in the brain. Do you know what I'm trying to say?
Yeah.
Like we have this view, soul didn't create this view, man-made view, that if I'm like having a relationship with somebody that is not in a body, one, there must be something wrong with me, or two, right? But we do this all the time with people that have passed, well, you know this better than me, but when people pass on, how many stories have you heard is, you know, I went to bed last night. My father was sitting at the bottom of my bed, and he was talking to me. Now, you only share that, generally, people only share that with their best friends, but that actually happened to Linda. So it's harder for people to wrap their mind about it, but it doesn't mean that those relationships are of a lesser quality.
In fact, the only impediment that I actually have, people have asked me this question, and I don't really consider it an impediment, but if I had to, the only one that I have is technically I can't pick up the phone and call him. That's it. I mean, would I prefer to do that? Maybe. Yeah. It's a lot easier than having to sit there and meditate and raise my vibration and connect, you know. But when it comes to the actual work that the twin flames do together, I just feel like it's a... maybe not a faster track, but things go a little bit differently, a little bit maybe smoother, because there's no ego, for example. Like, I know, I mentioned this in the book, I know that if Shiko were here, he would not be my type of guy. He would not be someone I would be genuinely romantically attracted to. And that would be an impediment to working together.
Mm-hmm.
We could be best friends, but you know what I mean?
Yeah,
so,
I do.
It's offering a different perspective
and
saying that, okay, so my twin's on the other side, so, okay, this is to the master plan. Tell me how I work with that. Am I going the right way? You know, cheat. Come on, I need a cheat sheet. You know? But, yeah, no, I joke around a lot about it, but it's really a very intense relationship because the energy is much more powerful.
And then you just said it. It is the energy part of it. Because also then, you know, let's just talk about this last part before we go to break. And then when we come back, you've got some fascinating stories in here I'd love for you to share. But one of the things that may happen, and I think this happened to me, where you think you have found, that's it. You found, right, him, her, it, or them. You have found them. And you're kind of certain. And they're not. And you call it false twin flames. Can you talk about that for a minute? Because we just beat ourselves up over these.
The thing is that people really shouldn't. A false twin flame, you know, in my definition, is a partner that has every single quality that you could ever want in a partner, except there's always an except, or there's something in the relationship that causes unhappiness, like, or there's, you know, an argument or unhappiness, constant pain. You know, things like a physically abusive relationship, for example, would not constitute a twin flame relationship, because why would your twin want to hurt you? You're just trying to help one another. And a lot of the times when people are in these relationships and they're actually able to step out of them, they want to take on all that guilt. But what has happened in that relationship is that it's a soulmate sort of in disguise, exposing, I mean, maybe not necessarily for, you know, an abusive relationship, but it exposes all of your buttons. It exposes your weaknesses. It gives you the opportunity to learn. Not through abuse, obviously. I don't know. I can't justify that one. But it gives you the opportunity to go, oh, wait a minute, that's something that I know I need. Okay, my twin should have XYZ in it, and that's what I'm putting myself on that path. So instead of, you know, feeling badly about it, they should empower themselves and go, oh, wait, what did I learn from this relationship? That's what I need, because I've met a lot of people who believe they're in a, you know, their twin flame relationship, and sadly, they don't want to hear that the answer is no. You know, they don't want to hear, they don't even want to think about that. But then when they step out of it and they go, oh, I didn't learn anything. So if neither one of the people in the relationship have learned anything to evolve their soul, it's not possible to be a twin flame.
Yeah. And, you know, what I love about this is, and we'll talk about this when we come back, because there are these roles and stages that Leslie talks about. And so if we take you on this walk through the roles and stages, you will see that just because your twin flame may have, my language, stepped away, that doesn't mean they're not your twin flame, because inevitably something else happens. Leslie, how do we get a copy of the book, and how do we find out more about you?
My website is lesliesampson.com, and actually the book is available everywhere, but head over to Amazon to leave a review when you're done reading it as well.
Awesome. When we come back, stages and roles, people and action. Oh, my. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Ready to experience full body system wellness? Tune in to the Empower Me Show with Pam Bright, a spiritual toolbox for your life. Embrace the fullness of who you are as a spiritual being, having a human experience. Pam Bright is a multidimensional healer, light language channel, energy intuitive, and spiritual transformation coach. Join her for a rich conversation about how to unlock all your spiritual gifts on Transformation Talk Radio.
Are you having difficulty feeling at home in your own home? Join Annette Rigolo and Dr. Pat in Enlightened Environments, Optimizing from the Outside In, as they present a deep dive into the various vibrations of the Earth, along with man-made energies that impact our lives. Using the Diamond Dowsing Method, we will utilize specific vibrations to elevate our own homes to support us and expand us with their energy. Join us every third Wednesday at 10:30 a.m. Pacific Time to make your home, home.
It is time to get inspired to take action in your life. Tune in to Emotional Elevation with me, Susan Denae. We are identifying, understanding, and treating our crazy one episode at a time. We all have crazy in our lives. The thing that sets us apart is how we deal with it. And I've got you covered. Enjoy your journey. You are worth it. Visit SusanDenae.com. That's DENEE.com.
Illuminate your inner framework now with Shelley Hofberg and Stephanie Salt on the show Intuitive Diagnostics on Psychic Horizons.
For you to find the keys to your highest path, it is vital that you see what is happening within your inner metric of you and those around you. They'll help you utilize soul architecture so that you can unravel the highest plan of life actualization for you. Manifest your unique life mission now, every Thursday, 5 p.m. Pacific, 8 p.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Are you ready to get big and live your life out loud? Tune in to Get Big Out Loud Radio, exploring life through the lens of curiosity and compassion. With me, Carrie Knudsen, joining Dr. Pat live every second Monday at 10 a.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com. I will offer ideas to transform what you are thinking into conscious action. If you want to get big and live your life out loud, visit me at KnudsenSpeaks.com.
Are you wondering who you are meant to be in this ever-changing world right now? Kelly Kay is a certified new paradigm multidimensional transformation energy healer ready to assist you in this transformative process of expanding your consciousness. She helps you transmute your wounds and traumas into healing, growth, and wisdom, resulting in self-empowerment and freedom from fear. Visit enlightenedmedicine.com to learn more.
You're listening to an encore presentation from the Transformation Talk Radio Network.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back. For more information about me, Dr. Pat, this is the Dr. Pat Show. Go over to TransformationTalkRadio.com. You're probably watching this live on Facebook at Facebook.com/TransformationTalkRadio. And if you want to find out more about Leslie, Leslie, let's get everybody to your website, but also how they can get a copy of the book.
My website is LeslieSampson.com. And my book is available everywhere, but if you shoot over to Amazon, you can actually get it there for a pretty good deal and leave a review.
Awesome. Thank you. I wanted to talk a little bit. I mean, there's a lot to talk about in the book. And I just wanted to spend a few minutes on roles and stages. And there are some great stories you have in here. You know, everything from numerology. But the conversation that you have in the book about roles and stages really explains some things. Because you're a twin flame, for whatever reason, you may be together and then something may happen and you're not. But in the end, twin flames have to come back together, right? It's like a little magnet thing.
Yes, definitely. And I know my book is called Find Your Twin Flame, but it's not really more about finding them as it is just bringing them closer to you because it's inevitable. So, you know, the roles that we have in the twin flame relationship, and these are universal, I believe, are runner and chaser, which are exactly what they sound like. For example, in my own, I was always the runner. I was not wanting to deal with it, and I rejected it completely, and my twin was like, no. So, and they're not always static. Sometimes they can change. You know, sometimes, you know, you may reach a point where you're just like, okay, I'm ready to face this. And, you know, your twin flame might be like, no. And that's what happened to a lot of the people that I spoke with and that we did research together for the book and that I worked with, because they were at a point where they're the twin that is sort of the open, the awake one, the one who is doing the work. The one who is reading and reading all the articles and, you know, reading books and things like that, trying to learn. And then there's the other one who is just like, I can't, you're too enthusiastic. I can't deal with this. You're freaking me out. What's going on with you? So then it becomes, there's a disconnect there. It doesn't always have to be, you know, and I think if once we take that little carrot out of there that says, that this is a love relationship. I think once we remove that, it makes it a little bit easier to navigate through the various different ups and downs and ins and outs and the roller coaster of all the stages of the twin flame relationship as well.
Well, and then you really go on. I mean, you don't stop here. What I found really fascinating now is you take us on a journey of numerology and astrology as well. I mean, I was like, wow, this is interesting up to this point. Then you go down the rabbit hole of numerology and astrology, and, you know, you don't just drop a few lines in here. You put some really interesting detail, and you've used some of the people and examples in the book, like Andy and Jesse, for example. I don't think I've ever thought about a twin flame and numerology or astrology. I mean, that's even before we talk about other metaphysics. But tell me why this is important to include this, because you literally give us charts and research to demonstrate things here.
The reason why is because I was so ingrained within doing the research and trying to prove that the entire concept was, a fib and that it didn't exist. And every class I took, everything that interested me, like, you know, astrology and numerology and various other ologies that we talk about in the book, I was like, okay, well, why do I need to know this? And then eventually the pattern started to come. The hardest thing was the astrology, though, because there actually is something called twin flame astrology that I don't subscribe to at all. But that's okay. A lot of people do, you know. But for me, it became more evident that there are ways that twins can show one another to each other, like that are provable, that are demonstrable, because a twin flame, for example, cannot incarnate and be someone else's twin flame. So if you prove it, for example, you know, through the astrological chart, if you see all these commonalities and all these, and they keep adding one after another, like myself and my twin flame have almost the exact same chart. So when you look at these and you go, oh, wait a minute. Yeah, you can dive into and do all the calculations and all of that. Yeah, but I'm not negating that at all. Bravo to those people who want to do that. Absolutely. I love you. I respect you. But for me, just looking at the, you know, the commonalities on the charts, you sit there and go, wow, I can see that parallel. I can see how we're similar. I can see our souls doing this work. And my, you know, that's why, honestly, astrology was the last thing I did. But that's why it was fascinating to me, and especially with numerology is my favorite. I will do numbers all day long. And the funny thing is I actually have a learning disability in math. So it's not the easiest thing for me to do.
Right.
But I'm going to do numbers all day long because I know that in some way there will be proof, there will be a sign, there will be something in there that says, you know, maybe it's just a hi. Hello, hi, how are you? Okay, here's your new license plate. I know you're going to do all the letters and all the numbers and figure it out on the Pythagorean and then add it all together and bring it down. And when you do that, it'll be the number 5, which is one of our repeating numbers. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So it sounds silly, but the more, you know, sort of evidence that you get, the more proof you get, the more things that you work through, the less you're inclined to disagree with it and push it to the side and say, there's no way, it's not possible. So that's why we actually go through, and I say we, because my twin helped me write this book. So I give him as much credit as possible. But that's why we go through all of this, to show folks that even the most minute detail that you think could make absolutely no sense to anyone else in the world, that can be part of your puzzle, part of your twin flame puzzle. It might be this big, but it matters because you're experiencing it. So we're empowering people by giving them the tools to figure it out.
Yeah.
Sure. I mean, I'm not about showing other people, oh, yeah, I need to prove, you know, this person is my twin flame. I don't need to prove it for anyone else. I proved it for me.
Yeah. But I like that you put the charge in here. And I like that you put different charts in here. Like there, you put the chart in here of you and Chico, right? And, you know, and so you can read the conversation about it, but it's fascinating because it's not just about what sign you are. It's about what sign you are, what house are we looking at, right? Because it was fascinating to see the chart and how many equals you had. Now, that's got to be a little bit odd.
You know, and that's what, when I first, what made me think, oh my gosh, no, I have to be wrong about this, because I've never seen similarities like that
right.
in the astrological chart. And it blew my mind. I was like, no, I had to have done this wrong. And I did it 37,000 times. I'm not
right.
even joking. And that, it occurred to me, like, wait a minute, we're the same on a soul level. And, for example, the astrological chart is just a snapshot of your existence as you are now. So, I mean, his ended, obviously, his chart ended when he passed away. So, obviously,
yeah.
I didn't include any of that. But
yeah.
while he was here, I look at this chart and go, wow. You can see how our souls are so parallel that we're learning almost the exact same lessons. And, well, he learned his in a different way than I did, but regardless, it's the exact same lesson. And that happened for so many other people that I worked with as well. We talk about, you know, quite a few of them in the book. And I just, it's fascinating to me that you can actually see it right there in front of your face without literally having to dive into the deep end of the astrological pool. It's right there. It's
yeah. It's fascinating. I'm going to really take a closer look at this. You know, I knew that the relationship I had, you know, that really was not my twin flame. You know, there was one aspect of it that we really had in common. Our both of our moons were in Capricorn, but that's not the whole picture. And I think the way you've laid this out was just beautiful. And the way you said, take a look, you know, and see what you come up with. You know, Leslie, you don't stop there. And I'm glad you didn't stop there. Because the thing that does have to be talked about is, I think, one of the most difficult, how should I say it, the most difficult attractions to explain. And it's that of vibration and energy. And, you know, when you take us through this and you talk about likes attract like, but not always, right? Right. And then you introduce the chakra system. We have an idea of how to get a better sense, especially with the heart chakra, more about these other metaphysical ways and how they are guideposts for
wow.
finding
there's
this.
There's so many. Okay, we'll start with the heart chakra, though.
Yeah.
Heart chakra is pretty important when it comes to twin flames because, as we spoke about, the umbilical cord, as I call it, is connected at the heart chakra. In this, you know, in the energetic body, in the physical body, in the etheric body, it's connected. It's energetic, and there, oh my gosh, there are so many different ways. We talk about so many goodness, but it's important to understand that you're always connected, because that takes you through the rest of the methods, sort of that we talk about. We talk about divination, different forms of divination, which are like using pendulums. We talk about that. We talk, you know, to prove
yes.
this one's thing. We actually talk about spirit boards in the book as well. And we sort of try to de-Hollyfy them, you know, de-Hollywoodify them so that people can understand them from a different perspective. But it's basically all of that amounts to one basic simple truth, is that you are both of the same energy. So what happens, it's almost kind of like what happens to me happens to him and vice versa, energetically. And it's important to understand that because a lot of people will say, well, if it's the other half of my soul, then they are a complete soul. I'm not taking that away. But they have their own personality, and we can't possibly be the same, and we're a mirror of one another. You have the same exact energy from the inception of your soul. And if you want to think of that as having a mirror, okay, but really it's a continuation. So, for example, if I were to put a blindfold on someone, you know, and I would say, okay, I'm going to bring myself and my twin flame in the same room. And we put a blindfold on them so they cannot tell the difference between the both of us, okay? They should feel no difference. Energetically. I'm
exactly.
talking about, you might have different hands, you might have different hair, et cetera, but energetically, you should not be able to tell the difference between yourself and your twin flame.
Yeah.
And I think that's where we were trying to drive with all of the talking about, you know, raising your vibration is important when we talk about metaphysics anyway, but it's important to talk about that matching energy because a lot of people just don't have that understanding.
Yeah. You know what I'm really struck by too, and I'm not exactly sure where you say it, but what I'm really struck by is the idea that you can be yourself around this person, right? And what does that mean? I mean, how guarded are you? Like, if you think you're in a relationship with a twin flame, are you really able to show up as you? How guarded are you? And what is that saying, right?
Well, being guarded, though, in any relationship, being guarded is dictated by past experience. You can't help that. But when it comes to the twin flame relationship, it's my experience, honestly, that it's an evolution. Like, it might actually start off being defensive and get away from me, and I can't take that snitch too much because you haven't let go. You haven't unpacked your baggage, as I like to say. I'm an emotional hoarder. I carry baggage with me everywhere, okay? So if I unpack it one by one, which is what happens when it's like the souls are triggered by meeting one another, and all of a sudden you're more willing to get rid of stuff. You know, if it brings me closer to this fascinating person, if I get rid of one or two things, okay, I gotta know more. So yeah, okay, I'll get rid of a couple of things out of my happy little energetic suitcase.
Right.
You know, but it's an evolution. That's why it's an education of the soul. But yeah, you can start off. I was queen of defense. Okay. Get away from me. Why are you here? Okay. So believe me when I say that it can start off that way. But the difference is that eventually you want to learn more about your divine partner. You want to have a better understanding of them. So you're willing to let go of what impedes us. It's a beautiful thing.
One of the things that I know we've got a few minutes left, but, you know, there's so much to really talk about, but there was an underlying purpose to really shining light on this. And it's not just about talking about twin flames, I think, as, you know, we have been doing. But what you're integrating into all of this is the multidimensional nature of understanding, right? Because you could read a book on twin flame and walk away and say, oh, okay, but you walk us through the various places we can look for signs, right?
Yes.
What did you discover as you went and wrote this book and some of the stories? What did you discover about the stories between people that you've included in the book?
Well, a lot of the things I discovered was there's a general underlying theme, and that is the lack of empowerment. Almost kind of like previous to being in this relationship, there was no, even the basic understanding of what they wanted, what they needed. Kind of like they were used to something and just kind of going through the motions, you know? And, it's, you know, working through the relationship, they began to empower themselves. But that was kind of one of the major things I noticed, the major theme, was that there was no gusto, there was no get up and go, there was no empowerment, you know? But that was kind of one of the things I wanted to speak to as well, to give people the information, all the information I could possibly give them to empower themselves. I also noticed, and this is really fascinating, I also noticed that there was a genuine love. And it's not romantic love, it's necessarily. No. It's not really a love that we can put into words. It's that energetic feeling and vibration of just beautiful divinity, as I like to call it, mm-hmm. because I don't know another word to describe it. But it's through everything, you know. And to me, that was really amazing to see, because previous to all of this girl wasn't having it. You know, I didn't believe in any of that stuff.
Right.
Because I was carrying my stuff with me.
Mm-hmm.
So to see that demonstrated in so many people that I worked with, you know, working with twin flames, as well as mediumship. Mediumship is nothing but divine love, you know, as well, was absolutely life-changing for me. Absolutely. And I hope that we bring that through in the book so that people can understand they do have the power. And they're, you know, love is real. Love is the answer. And I know that sounds cheesy and beetle-y, but, you know, it's okay.
Yeah. But, you know, part of what we're talking about, too, for people is to really try to get an in-depth understanding about what might be going on. And, you know, I referenced the stages earlier because
mm-hmm.
that tells people, just because somebody is out of your life and you find them back in your life, you know, there is a sense to make of it if we look at it from a twin flame perspective. I know that we've talked about a lot, but I'm pretty sure we haven't talked about everything. I know we didn't talk about the Akashic Records. You know, in the time we have left, I'd love to hear, you know, what it was like for you to bring this all together.
Honestly, I didn't realize I was doing it until Chico smacked me on the side of the head and said, "Hey, aren't you going to put this in a book?" it was really sort of I just have this method where I take notes and I write things down, and I have notebooks filled with information. And what's in the book is not everything, but it was sort of like I was going back through all of the stages myself and going back and looking through and going, wow, I can see that. So it was another awakening. And I'm not afraid to say that, because you think you get to a point where you understand the whole thing, and then... And so it really did, it was an awakening where I could actually see how my spiritual team worked with me and to get me into each and every little step to go, okay, you know what, here's the first piece, here's the second piece, and now let's break it all down. Let's put it into something that, you know, that makes sense. So, and since I was really writing, you know, for an audience of myself, and because I was trying to explain it to myself as I was before all of this happened.
Yeah.
And so it really was like a reawakening. It really was.
First of all, I want to thank you so much for coming on the show. Please let folks know again how they can find out more about you and some of the other things you do. I mean, this isn't the only thing you do. And let's get people to your website and how to connect with you directly.
Well, my website is lesliesampson.com, and I have my email on there. I have all my socials on there. Please reach out. I answer everything myself personally. And, of course, you can get my book on my website. You can get my book on Amazon.com. And we really hope that you enjoy it. And please let us know. Because we love hearing the feedback. So thank you so much.
You bet. Thank you
so much.
Yep. And I just have one last question that I'd love for you to tap into. And
okay.
It's your conclusion, right? Because your conclusion really does drive it all home. It's like the takeaway for people. I would love for you to take a minute or two to really just, you know, talk to people that are confused about this and what the possibilities are for them.
Possibilities are endless, and I know that sounds, but it is. And the possibilities are endless, but I know I focus on a lot of different topics in the book, and I try to give you as much information as I have. But it's with the goal of empowering you And it's also with the goal to help you understand that nothing can take the place of your own experience. You have to trust what you get.
Yeah.
That was one of the basic things that I learned. That was the first thing that my first mentor said in my very first mediumship class. Trust what you learn. And I, of course, didn't. And I let everybody tell me everything. I let people tell me Chico was invisible and imaginary and I made him up and I need to check myself into somewhere. So I know I say it a lot better in the book, but the point is that we want to empower you to take control of your own relationship.
Yeah.
If this is something that interests you, ask your questions. Don't be afraid. Ask your questions. Read the book. Read my book. Ask me. I will be more than happy to help you if I can. But understand, nothing takes the place of your own experience. And it's really about empowerment. That's really what it is. That's the key.
I
gained all of this knowledge and went through all of this research. And the bottom line was, yeah, okay, I can do all this stuff. But the bottom line was, I believed myself. I finally believed myself.
Exactly.
You know, and so I wish that for everyone. I wish that for everyone on their path, because when you believe yourself, you take away the fear of, oh my God, what if I'm wrong? What if I miss? What if I'm that? What if somebody laughs at me? You stop caring. You're just like, fantastic. That's your gig. I believe myself. So that's truly, honestly, what I really hope to put out there with the book and with the information that we've shared.
Yeah, because that is really the key, isn't it?
Yeah.
You know, we have been given incredible power, innate power within ourselves, all of us, and yet we will shut that door faster than you can shake a stick.
Like that.
Thank
yeah.
you so much for reminding us, Leslie. Thank you for everything. Wow. A lot in the book. We covered some of it. For those of you that want more, there's a lot in there. And please feel free to reach out to Leslie, you know, to fill in your own blanks. I want to thank you, Leslie, so much for everything today. Thank you for that.
I appreciate you so much. Thank you.
Yeah, I want to thank Jacob, of course, and Benny, of course. And I want to thank all of you. You are the best listening audience on the planet. Make yourself a great rest of your day, and we'll see you next time.
Views expressed on this program are those of the host, guests, and callers, and not necessarily those of KKNW, its management, or other advertisers. Contests are the responsibility of the host of this program and not KKNW. This is Alternative Talk 1150 AM, KKNW Seattle, and KNUC 98.9 HD3 Seattle.
And good Wednesday to you. Benny Mathers here for a look at your Alternative Talk AM 1150 traffic update for Around the Sound. Well, we have on I-90 eastbound just west of the 405 around mile plus number 9, a recent collision actually partially blocking the right hand of the lane. Inter-response team, State Patrol have arrived on the scene, and they are taking care of that situation. Also on Highway 18 westbound just east of 244th Avenue Southeast, another collision blocking the left lane and partially blocking the right lane. That's around mile plus 19. Again, on Highway 18 westbound just east of 244th. Stay tuned for another hour of the Transformation Talk Radio Network, the Dr. Pat Show, and Talk Radio to Thrive By.
NBC News Radio, I'm Lisa Taylor. President Biden is expected to soon call on Congress to suspend the federal gas tax for 3 months. A senior administration official told reporters the gas tax suspension alone won't fix the problems we face, but will provide families a little breathing room as the administration keeps working to bring down gas prices for the long haul. If approved by Congress, the suspension would lift the 18-cent tax per gallon on gasoline during the summer months, as well as the 24-cent tax per gallon on diesel. The Senate Republican leader is slamming the idea of a gas tax holiday.
The Biden administration announced another ineffective stunt to mask the effects of Democrats' war on affordable American energy.
On the Senate floor, Kentucky's Mitch McConnell accused Biden and congressional Democrats of waging war on domestic energy production. AAA estimates the average cost of gas across the U.S. is $4.95 a gallon. It's higher in western states. The Senate Majority Leader vows to get a bipartisan gun safety bill passed by week's end.
A gun safety bill that can be described with three words: common sense, bipartisan, life-saving.
New York Democrat Chuck Schumer said the measure will make real progress against gun violence. Opening the Senate, Schumer cited the recent deadly mass shooting at an elementary school in Uvalde, Texas. The chairman of the Federal Reserve isn't in agreement with the Biden administration over the causes of inflation. During a Senate hearing, Jerome Powell said inflation was high before the Russian invasion of Ukraine. The White House has put the blame of inflation for the most part squarely on Russia, claiming it's Putin's price hike. Powell put a big portion of the blame on the ongoing supply chain disruptions. President Biden is directing a federal government agency to assess options for the U.S. to help Afghanistan after a deadly earthquake. That's according to a statement from National Security Advisor Jake Sullivan. Afghanistan was struck by a 5.9 magnitude earthquake, killing over 1,000 people. While search and rescue efforts are underway, the U.N. says heavy rain and wind are affecting the process. You're listening to the latest on NBC News Radio.
I'm Richard Serrett, host of Strange Planet. Join me every week as I take a deep dive into all things unexplained. UFOs, ghosts, the paranormal, and the world of high strangeness. Join me for an hour of can't-miss radio as I engage with remote viewers, alien abductees, Bigfoot hunters, rogue scientists, government whistleblowers, and more. It's radio that redefines reality. Richard Serrett's Strange Planet, Tuesday afternoons, 4 to 5.
I'm about to go ahead and take a look now at your alternative talk weather outlook for Wednesday. We'll see mostly cloudy skies with showers earlier on in the day. We'll see partly cloudy skies by the afternoon. High temperatures around 63, 64 degrees. Tonight, mostly cloudy skies. Low temperatures back down to about 51. For Thursday, Friday, and for Saturday, more sunshine expected. High temperatures on the rise from the mid-60s to possibly low 80s by Saturday. Mostly clear skies through the overnight. Lows in the mid-50s.
The views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of KKNW, its management, or other advertisers. This program is sponsored by Dr. Pat Basile and Transformation Talk Radio.
Hi, welcome. This is Dr. John DeMartini. This is one of the most amazing and inspiring shows that you can listen into. If you want to be on the edge of your seats, if you want to open up your heart, if you want to expand your mind, and you want to meet incredible people, stay tuned, because you're just about to experience a transformative radio show that will change your life. And you're listening to the Dr. Pat Show is coming up right next.
Welcome to the Dr. Pat Show. Talk radio to thrive by. Powerful, inspiring, and coming to you live, bringing you stories of people like you and me, busting through and living life full out. Get ready to dare to wonder what your life would be like if you knew you could not fail.
Everybody, welcome to our good news segment. Oh, okay. We have another fabulous expert from Edward Jones, Steve Rushoff, joining us here today, principal of Edward Jones. Now, look, this has been a conversation that I have been having with myself, that I've had with my family, that you are all having, that many of you are thinking, okay, I don't know what to do. It's another one of these areas when we bring on somebody like Steve, that we can provide you with information. But here we go, right? Do you want to learn about the tools that can help you fund certain qualified education expenses? I wanted to know this so badly when I went back to school and I didn't have this. But this is what I love. I love how someone like Steve and this organization comes forward and say, people have a need and we have a solution. Steve, it's great to have you. Welcome, welcome, welcome.
Well, thank you, Dr. Pat. Thank you for having me on. It's great to be with you.
And I'm not kidding. You know, I know you all are looking at what is really the pain point. What are the pain points that people are going through, especially around education? And I think that's what you've done. Before we get into the solution, what was it that you found in your new study that really caused your eyes to open really wide and then for you to come forward with the solution?
Yeah, we do a survey every year of Americans around their awareness of saving for education and awareness of 529 plans. In fact, this is our 11th year of completing this survey. And what we've learned is that saving for education remains a high priority for the majority of Americans. 55% say they know this is important and actually has ticked up a little bit since the prior year. This is really interesting given that all the headwinds we've all been facing. We've been living through a pandemic. We now have inflation and market volatility, so there's a lot competing for consumer dollars and consumer attention. But in spite of all that, people know they need to save for education costs.
Yeah. One of the things that we're not talking about, and, you know, this is something that I've done a bunch of shows on, is people are calling this new effort the Great Resignation. I have called it the Great Resurrection. Because what's happening for people, they're looking at their lives, and a lot of these folks, I don't have the exact numbers, but I'm hoping to get them later, are saying, I'm going to go back to school. They're like me. They're like, oh, okay, I'm going to go back to school. Now, can you talk about what you've discovered in this study and how 529 plans are being used or not used?
Sure. I mean, the awareness around needing to save for education is not that surprising either. I think people in general know that college is expensive. I mean, 4 years of college education can start at about $100,000, but it can go on up to $300,000 or higher, depending upon what school you choose, in-state, private, all that. So the need is there. Americans know they need to save. But most surprisingly is almost two-thirds could not identify a 529 plan as a tool that they could use to help save for education costs. Usage is down as well. Only 13% are actually using the 529 plan. That's down 8 points from the start of the pandemic in 2020. And that's really a shame because they're essentially leaving money on the table. They're missing out on some helpful tax benefits that can make every dollar saved go farther for education costs.
All right. Let's tell people, we've said it, 529 plan, let's tell them what it is, because when you hear leaving money on the table, you're probably wondering, what is a 529 plan? Let's tell them what it is, because hopefully we can make that number better.
Yeah, many of us are familiar with 401k plans. That's a retirement savings plan that offers tax benefits. It's named after a section of the tax code, 401k. Well, 529 is sort of a cousin to that because it's also named after a section of the tax code, hence the numbers 529 in front of the name. And it's really it's a qualified savings tool that helps folks save for education costs. And the way it works is you set up a 529 plan. Each state sponsors 529 plans. So there's an owner of the plan and there's a beneficiary of the plan. Typically, the beneficiary is your child, but it can be others as well. I mean, we might get into some of the flexibility around that, like who can be a beneficiary of the plan. But contributions go into the plan. They're invested and they earn investment returns. Those investment earnings are tax deferred and potentially even tax free if used for qualifying education costs. Mm. In addition to that, some states allow the contribution that's made to the 529 plan to be deducted from state income taxes. And so there really are some important tax benefits that can make these a helpful tool.
And I think this is 2 points I want to really drive home. One of them is, if you look at this, everybody listening, and you're thinking to yourself, okay, I don't know. I don't know how to put money away. I don't know how to do it. One of the things I love about this is you don't have to know everything. What you really do have to know, and I'm going to ask Steve this, is what is the benefit of this? When we say use a plan like the 529 plan, it not only gives you a foundational basis financially for what you might do for higher education or education, but Steve, doesn't it also give people a sense of calm and peace and security? Because if you're doing nothing and you're walking around every day of your life and then the life of your child or your beneficiary, you know, you're living in this space of unknowing. So can you talk to the fact that this is a plan that impacts Americans and Americans' education, savings, and peace of mind?
Yeah, that's something that we learned in our survey as well, that almost half of Americans feel like they're not doing enough. to save for education costs that they know they're going to incur, whether it's their children or grandchildren. And so so you're right. I mean, the saving is doing something, and it's creating peace of mind. Like, saving for any goal, starting early is important, so you get that power of compounding that helps you over time. But the fact that two-thirds aren't aware of a plan, and those who aren't aware of some of the flexibility that these plans offer, I think that's potentially one of the barriers, is that they're just not aware of the plan, how they work, how to get started, or even some of the uses of those plans.
So let's get into some of the benefits of this, because we said we were going to talk about this. Let's talk about this idea that people don't know about tax deferment, and really, what are people going to get out of this that they don't know about? Because I think, Steve, if they knew about the kinds of savings and benefits that we were talking about, I mean, literally in percentages and numbers, that would be a new level of interest. People would say, I'm motivated to find out more. Even if I can't put a whole lot of money away, I can put something here, right?
Right. Like, even Americans who are familiar with 529 plans tell us that they're not familiar with some of the flexibility or the use of the plan. And so that's something that we feel like general awareness is needed for these. And the flexibility comes in two ways. One is, you know, what can you use the funds for? What are the qualifying costs? And then what's the flexibility in terms of who can benefit from the plan? So maybe I'll start with the what, so the use of funds. So we've been talking a lot about college education costs.
Mm-hmm.
That's a broad use in a 529 context, so it could be tuition, books, room and board, even equipment like a laptop to be used for college. All of those are qualifying expenses or qualifying distribution reasons for a 529. But the 529 funds can go beyond that. They can go to pay for K through 12 education costs, grade schools, apprenticeships, even now repaying some student loan debt. So the uses, or the what behind the 529 uses, is really pretty broad.
Yeah, I am so glad you said that, because when I decided to go back to school as, you know, an adult after losing my job, and thank goodness I did, I'm so happy I did, you know, the surprise wasn't the tuition, but the focus was on tuition. The surprise was all of those other things you just mentioned, right? And
yes.
People don't realize that. I love that we're talking about K through 12. Because one of the pain points right now in our country is the fact that we're not evenly distributed with wealth. And there are a lot of families that would love to be able to buy their child a laptop or a computer. And I think I heard you say that the funds can be used for something like that as well.
That's correct. And even in your situation, Dr. Pat, when you went back to school, I think that speaks to the flexibility around who can benefit from these plans. The most typical is a parent setting these up for a child or their children, but the beneficiary doesn't have to be related to the plan owner. The beneficiary could be a grandchild. It could be a niece or nephew. It could even be a friend's child. There doesn't have to be a relation between the owner of the plan, who's contributing and who's benefiting from it. Furthermore, that beneficiary can be changed at any time for any reason. So you could start with child number one. They could use proceeds. You then change it to child number two. You could even change it to yourself. So in your case, you went back to school.
Mm-hmm.
You could change the beneficiary to yourself and use it for your own education costs if you decide to go back to school later. So it creates a lot of great flexibility behind these plans.
You know, and I'm so glad you're talking about that, because a lot of people are not talking about that, Steve. You know, we have a very ancient view of financial support when it comes to education. We really do. We have such a gap between what we think is available today and what we knew about. You know what I mean. You know, once upon a time, it was like, oh, how can we get this student loan? How do we get? But this is a whole new realm, and I love that you talked about this, because I actually have a friend who set a 529 plan aside her neighbor's child, and I totally forgot about that, because what you're saying is the flexibility of today's 529 plans, the flexibility, and the only thing holding you back from that is learning and educating yourself on how to use it, right?
That's right. There's a lot of variables to think about, like how much do I save, how much will I need. That depends on what school you're going to, will you get scholarships or financial aid. And so there's a lot of variables, and really the best way to get started is to seek help, work with a qualified financial advisor like one of the 18,000 plus that we have at Edward Jones. They can advise on the trade-offs of saving in a 529, saving for education goals versus what that might do to your retirement goal and how do you balance the two. They can even tell you if a 529 plan makes sense for you and get you started in one if that does make sense. So it's a great way to get help.
So how do people do that, though? How do people get help? You know, who do they call? What's the website? How do they connect with you all? Because that's, like, important.
So one of the easiest ways, Dr. Pat, is go to edwardjones.com/education savings. That's one word, edwardjones.com/education savings. There we've got information around 529 plan, but just a lot of additional great resources on saving for education, how to do it, how to get started.
Mm. And Steve, I know you've got to run, but I've got to ask you this next question. You know, let's talk about you. You're so close to this. You lead the managed investments and insurance areas. But I want to ask you, from your heart to the hearts of people listening, what excites you most about this message that you're delivering today?
If we can generate more awareness, because we know that many Americans are missing out on these benefits, so even if we can make a difference in a few listeners, I know I use this personally for myself. My daughter is now age 14, and we started saving in a 529 years ago, and the satisfaction and peace of mind I get from that is really great. So if we can help people understand this, be aware of it, and use it if it makes sense for them, then we're happy.
I love it. Steve, thank you so much. One last thing. I would love for you to really extend your personal invitation to folks listening so that they can understand and be motivated to take action. What would you say to the listeners today?
Please learn more. Be active in this. If you're interested in it, learn more. Go to edwardjones.com/education savings. Become educated first and then take action.
All right, Steve, thank you so much. Thank you all. We're going to take a short break. We'll be right back.
Been listening, but are you watching? Tune in to your favorite shows on the Transformation Talk Radio Facebook page. We stream live video podcasts every day.
I want to bring us into our inner space and bring in the energies that I've built here in this meditation. You notice that I have roses here. Well, for the past 2 months or so, I've been working with the rose energy, the energy of Mother Mary, which is being able to bring love to any situation. And that's the pink of the rose petals. We have obsidian here. You can see its reflective surface. This is a piece of gold obsidian. You see how it kind of shimmers a bit gold-like. We're going to take this time to enter our own personal underworld, the shadow sides of ourselves, and drop ourselves in. We're going to go through this portal using obsidian, surrounded by the beautiful rose energy, and clear and regroup and rejoin all of our intolerant pieces, our judgmental pieces, our prickly sides. So just nice deep breaths in with your nose and out with your mouth. And allow your awareness to move to your heart center. You can see it, visualize it, or feel it, or just know it. Bring yourself in. Bring yourself into this sacred space of your heart.
And here's where we're going to ask for all of that pink energy of love of the high ascended master, Mother Mary, bringing that rose pink energy. Have that swirling around your heart. Feel it and breathe it in and breathe it out. And just let this rose pink beautiful energy surround you and feel it expanding, sending it out wider than your heart, farther out from your body, above your crown, below your feet, until you're really in a gorgeous cocoon of this beautiful pink, ascended, full of love, full of forgiveness, and holding yourself in that gorgeous, gorgeous pink bubble. Call forth anything about you that you wish had been a little better, that you wanted to have done differently, that you might be a little bit ashamed about, that you coveted something, you were really angry about something, you were intolerant, jealous, whatever it is. And just bring it forward and put it down into obsidian. Float into the energy of this smoky mirror, an obsidian that can be the sharp arrow-like energy to take us to our target, to take us to our goal. Bring that energy in and let obsidian transmute it. Let those orphans of your soul be cleared and returned to your essence. Bring them one at a time. Maybe something else recurs to you. Oh yeah, you know, I had some road rage. I saw that woman waiting for the parking spot, but I cut in front of her and took it anyway. Whatever you wish you hadn't done that way, let obsidian transmute it. And as you're working that, feel the words of Ho'oponopono. I'm sorry. Please forgive me. I love you. Thank you. Every time something unsavory shows its face, hold it close and transmute it through obsidian. I'm sorry. Please forgive me. I love you. Thank you. And as you do that, you can feel the swirling pink rose quartz energy, feeling the love that Mother Mary was able to give even in the worst of times as her son was killed. I'm sorry. Please forgive me. I love you. Thank you. And one by one, just letting those orphans of our underworld bubble up, we own them. We hug them. We love them. And in the love, the energy is transmuted to our personal power. With love, clearing any of those prickly parts so that you can go out to the dawn more resilient, more ready to bring goodness to the world, more ready for your contribution. I'm sorry. Please forgive me. I love you. Thank you. Breathing in that beautiful rose energy and sending things through the obsidian portal for transmutation. Healing yourself by loving all your parts. Opening the crack to let the light in. Every piece of us is valuable. Every aspect of us has power. And when we own it, it joins in that core forward current of our power and amplifies it. And breathing a few more minutes, letting the rose pink saturate all of your energy field, your cells, and feel it radiating out from your heart space. See if you can bring rose energy to your day, later today, tomorrow, the rest of the week. See if you could ask the energy of Mother Mary to come teach you how to transform through forgiveness and love. How can we change the world by adding our best selves, by bringing forward our best heart energy? I'm sorry. Please forgive me. I love you. Thank you. And with one nice deep breath, really searching, using obsidian to reflect our underworld back to us, finding your last parts that need to be owned, that need to be forgiven, that need to be loved. Finding them and bringing them in to this gorgeous circle. Remembering to always bring forward the rose pink of love and forgiveness, and always be willing to reflect the smoky mirror back to ourselves so that we can bring the orphans home. And absorb that quietly for another moment.
Views expressed on this program are those of the host, guests, and callers, and do not necessarily reflect the views of the station, its management, or advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.
Welcome, everyone, to Champion Your Life with me, Leanne Champion. This is where we get to reflect, refine, and reboot your one precious life. In this space, we take a deeper look at what's holding you back. Maybe you want to show up differently for the people in your life. Maybe you're struggling with your emotional well-being. Maybe you feel as though something's missing and you want to get excited about your future. There's some good news. You can shift your perspective and begin to walk through the world in new, refreshing ways. I am a certified life and well-being coach who was called to create this show as a means to facilitate a journey of personal development. You have the power to change. Your life is precious. Don't waste another minute feeling unfulfilled. Champion your life starts now.
Welcome, everyone, back to Champion Your Life with me, Leanne Champion. I'm always thrilled you're here listening, that you're interested in healthy mind management and living your to your fullest potential. And whether you tune in now or later to all the different locations that people come in from around the world, welcome. I'm just glad you're here. And today, we are talking about our most important relationships and how we need to pay such close attention to them, especially these days. You know, there's just so much going on in the world for people right now. And if we don't pay attention, I'm afraid things can very easily go off the rails. So we're going to discuss a concept called relationship manuals. And a relationship manual is basically an instruction guide, right, that we have for someone in our lives about how we would like them to behave. Now, we humans have very strong belief systems, right, that if other people would just behave the way that we would like them to behave, they would be better off and, well, we would be better off. Welcome to the world of manuals. In my coaching practice, I do run across this all the time, and I'm kind of getting pretty good at sensing a manual. Often I'll laugh at my clients and say something like, wow, this is a pretty thick manual that you've written for your husband. Have you even let him read it? Most of them just kind of look at me and like, what? Again, it's this idea, if so-and-so would just stop this and do what I tell them to do. But look, when we do this to other people, it often backfires, doesn't it? And relationships suffer. And then, well, we're just kind of left wondering why all the people in our lives don't cooperate. Now, I understand we all have ideas and opinions on how we think others should behave. But sometimes our thoughts around how they should behave become like so embedded in our minds that we really can't think about anything else. We're just constantly internalizing our manual that we have for that person. And then what happens is it becomes quite the destructive thought loop. So what I want you to do is start to pay attention if the word should comes up on your day-to-day. For example, well, he should make that phone call to his mother, or she should stop being late. You see, the shoulds are the first clue, actually, that you may have a manual in place. Now, before we go any further, I do want to say a few things that just need to be stated, because some of you out there may be dealing with way more serious issues such as addiction or abuse, and we are not talking about those kinds of situations today. And those situations require a whole nother level of love, care, and therapy. And we're also not talking about raising children, because, of course, we're going to have a lot of manuals for those little ones of ours as they're growing and learning, and that's just a given, right? And one last thing, we also don't want to confuse this concept with our work situations, as we will very likely have to follow manuals out of respect and to, well, stay employed, right? These are all important distinctions to make. But today, though, we're actually focusing on the more everyday manuals. And ironically, these manuals are about the people they love the most. And when we hang on to these manuals, we end up completely annoying the people we love, and we end up torturing ourselves. So here's the irony. We generally don't tell the other people in our lives that we even have manuals for them. We just we expect them to know or to magically figure it out what it is that we need. But when we keep our manuals to ourselves, we are expecting the impossible, aren't we? Look, we can share expectations. Nothing wrong with that. Go ahead and share exactly what you would like to have happen, and hopefully that will be honored. But here's what we must remember. What another person does with that request is entirely up to them. It really is. It really is. I need to share an example of a manual that I let go many years ago. Now, this is a story in hindsight. I think this happened almost gosh, a solid 15 years ago. But you know what? I have to throw myself under the bus because it's such a great example of a manual. So my husband, Tom, worked and commuted into New York City, and he worked very hard, and there were many nights that he would be home late, and we missed him, of course. So on the weekends, what happened, I created a very clear manual on how this was all going to go, that together we would put our three little boys to bed, you know, give them their bath, read stories, all the things, and then the manual I had in my head was that we should both get into bed after that, read, snuggle, cuddle, watch TV or a movie, whatever. And then I'd get everyone to bed, and I'd say, hey, TC, you want to watch a movie? And sure, you know, sometimes he was very game, but there were times I could tell that he really didn't want to. Oh, my gosh. So what did I do? Oh, my goodness, you guys, I made it mean all sorts of things. Like, oh my gosh, he didn't want to be with me. I mean, this really got under my skin, as this was not the vision that I had. You know, I wanted just to catch up. I wanted to reconnect. And he wasn't playing ball with my manual. He wanted to go into his garage and work on a car. And that was his hobby. It was understandable. It was a way to unwind. But here's the priceless part. I got to tell you, I ended up so frustrated, so irritated, hurt, all because of my thoughts. Because he wasn't following my playbook, my manual. Oh my goodness, quietly seething in my mind. So one day, thankfully, I asked him why. Why he didn't want to come to bed with me at night and watch TV. And he said, well, Leanne, that's really just the only time in my entire week that I have to be with myself. It's just important that I have time to unwind and chill out and, you know, just be with me. And honestly, that's just the only time I get to do it. Well, of course I had a light bulb moment. I could see it from his perspective. And I learned very quickly, this is, oh my goodness, this had nothing to do with me. It was just that he wanted to spend time with himself. He was merely desiring to reconnect and hang out with himself. So, of course, listening to his perspective changed it up for me. But looking back, it all seems so obvious now. But when I had a manual for him, Oh, I promise you, it wasn't obvious at all. In fact, it was this really ridiculous, huge contention in my mind, right? I was quietly seething. But what I want to point out to all of you when we do this, what a waste of energy, right? When we release all the rules and expectations we have and we listen to another person and hear what's going on for them, our relationships can really change, right? For the better. We can start understanding them from a different perspective that isn't all clouded up by our own thinking and expectations and assumptions. I mean, there's real serious truth in that old saying, try to walk a mile in someone else's shoes, right? Such wisdom in that. Again, you know, people don't like to hear this, but one of the first things that we all need to remember is that we grown-ups have the ability and freedom to behave however we want, and that includes you. When someone has a manual for you, I know it can feel like, you're not the boss of me. But I think we can all agree here that no one likes to be controlled. But often people will feel really defensive when I first introduce this concept and say something to me like, oh, so really, Leanne, you're telling me I shouldn't expect anything from that person? They will feel in the beginning like I'm somehow taking something away from them, like they're losing control. And they're reluctant, right? Really reluctant to give up on their carefully constructed manual. But once they recognize What I'm actually teaching them is giving them back all of their power and their emotional well-being. My clients start to feel somehow like that they can breathe. They're relieved. And then eventually empowered. Because here's the thing, trying to control another person, as we all well know, takes up way too much time and energy. Now, another thing that's kind of interesting is that people are at first a little puzzled that their significant other doesn't have to do anything differently. And yet I tell them, it only takes one person to make the change. One very conscious person to encourage the shift in a relationship. And when they decide to take the initiative to be that one, then they start to notice how their beloved is suddenly changing. Wow. They're often blown away at how they begin to come together. Okay, so now I just have to say, I want you to pay very close attention right now. If you are agitated or irritated by this concept and discussion, because typically this could be your inner voice saying something like, not sure I like this, but I may need to spend some time considering this. Often we are holding on to these manuals for a reason, right? And it's worth it to explore the reason why. I mean, some of the strongest manuals that I had, that I was hanging on to for dear life, came from a place of fear when I took a look at them. But this work of learning to release your manual for another human being is all about the expectations that you have, right, that are weighing you down, keeping you in a state of anger or hurt or frustration. Again, it's so interesting how most of our manuals are unspoken. We make assumptions and expect that all the people in our lives are to instinctively read our minds. And seriously, this is humanly impossible, isn't it? Can you think of a better recipe to set someone up for failure? And yet, we do it all the time. If you can learn to release your manual, you know what will happen? You're never going to want to look back. Do you know what happens? The energy in your relationship will shift. It will change. And again, it's fascinating. It only takes one person to let go of manuals. Just watch your relationship thrive when you decide to stop the blame game. It truly changes the dance. We're going to go for a quick break here, and you've been listening to Champion Your Life. My name is Leanne Champion, and I'm really glad we're talking about these manuals that we have for everyone in our lives. We're not going to shy away from this tough conversation. We'll be right back.
About impacting social change or working towards anti-racism as a society? Are you willing to deconstruct your innermost thoughts, ideas, and beliefs about racism? Then Inflection Point Podcast, Cultivating Change from the Inside Out, is the show for you. Join Anita Russell, Mavis Bauman, and Gail Hunter in open, honest, and deliberate conversations every first and third Wednesday at 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern, only on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
We're back, and you're listening to Champion Your Life with me, Leanne Champion, and we're talking all about relationship manuals. And Once again, just let me explain. A manual is an instruction guide we have for others in our lives about how we would like them to behave so that we can feel happy. And what a waste of time that is, right? When we allow ourselves to just love people, enjoy who they are, and not have any manuals for them, this can be such a beautiful, freeing way to live. And listen, we are living in some strange times for sure. So don't you just want to stop this craziness and spend your time loving others? Now, I wanted to share a manual story, another one I think that you're going to find really interesting. I was given permission to tell this story, and I've changed the names to protect everyone, but I had a client named Amanda. I'm going to call her Amanda. And she had been divorced for well over 6 years, but she was still in a situation where she was deciding to give her ex-husband complete power over her emotional life. So let me explain. She was letting her story about her ex and her entire manual around who he should have been during their marriage cause her to be miserable still. She had been dedicated to continuously bashing him and feeling this anger for him for the last 6 years. And as her coach, I was honored to hold the space for her in order to hash this whole thing out. She had already gone through therapy, and she thought she was over it, right? But she had recently just been very triggered and shared the whole story with me. And so in that moment, I really just wanted to show Amanda that her ex-husband wasn't feeling her anger. And instead of punishing him with her anger, she was actually, in fact, punishing herself with all the thoughts. Right? And she was still carrying around this dusty, beat-up old manual of hers, right? The manual that she had for him, and she was still torturing herself after all these years with it. She was the one feeling, experiencing, and living all these old rules that she had made. And he, on the other hand, he had moved on. He was happily remarried and was oblivious to her misery. Now, I asked her in the moment how it felt to think about him this way, and she said, terrible. And then I asked her why she was consistently choosing to feel terrible. I asked her why she was still hanging on to that old manual, right? That was no longer serving her. And it took her a while to truly understand that this was her choice, right? She started to realize that being angry at him was wrong. There was zero upside in that. And she began to let the story go and her manual for him go. And then she began to reclaim her power and began focusing on her own life, which was such a beautiful thing to watch. And such a poignant example, isn't it? And I'm so glad that she had her light bulb moment, because who would have wanted 6 more years of that kind of pain, right? So why is it important for you to become aware of who you have manuals for? For your emotional freedom. So you see, I am only here to help you live a life that you love. And I'm telling you that having a bunch of manuals for everyone creates a ton of unnecessary drama in our lives. One of the wisest things to understand in all of this is the realization that the only person, I know I've said this to you before, but the only person we have control over is ourselves and how we show up in our relationships. And you have to come to the conclusion that other people's behavior has no impact on us until We think about it, we interpret it, and choose, right? Choose to make it mean something. I wanted to share some common one-sentence manual instructions that you might recognize. I've been collecting some through the years. My mother should not come over unannounced. My girlfriend should be on time. My son should be emotionally available. She should listen to me as long as I listen to her. My mother-in-law should mind her own business. And then this one is fun. My husband should work more hours, or my husband should work less hours. Do you see what I mean? Do you hear all the shoulds? So this is important. Clients will say to me, oh, come on, Leanne, are you telling me that I shouldn't tell my husband that he should be home on time or help me out with the kids or take out the garbage or show up in a big way for family outings? And I will reply, absolutely. You should tell him those things. You can make all the requests you want for as many people as you want. But here's the thing. When you tie your emotional happiness to whether they respond in the way that you want, that is where people go off the rails. Right there. That's when it becomes a spiral of negativity, because that's what the manual does. It's this heavy, heavy book of rules that can send us down the rabbit hole. Now, look, I also want to say this does not mean that you stay with people who don't have the same values as you do or don't live in the way that you want to live and are constantly doing things that are against your values. I'm not suggesting that at all. But what I am saying is that trying to change them to be more like what you want them to be rarely works. In fact, it only makes you into a crazy person with all of your efforts. But the key really is for us all to take responsibility for how we feel, regardless of other people's behavior. This is such a saner and more empowering way to live. I want to tell you, I think this idea of manuals is truly one of the most important tools to understand. And you may want to go back and listen to this one again. And I want you to remember, repetition is the mother of all skills. And when I'm learning a concept, something that's new to me, I will listen to something that's resonating, right, several times until I let it sink into my core. And then I begin to apply what it is I'm learning. But what I have learned and what I want you all to know is that your relationship with anyone in your life is dependent on your thoughts about them. Now, if you have a difficult relationship with someone, you may blame it on their behavior. And you know what? It might be their behavior. But I want you to always examine what you are thinking as well in any given situation. You see, it always does come back around to our thought life, doesn't it? Our thoughts matter. There is a scripture that I dearly love that is from Philippians. It's Philippians 4:8, and it reads, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is gracious, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, my mind will rest on this. It's a beautiful one. Okay, here are my suggestions. Number one, I want you to acknowledge that we do have some intricate manuals for other people. Consider letting go of all your manuals. Number two, make requests of your people with no strings attached. And then notice what people do when you don't try to control them. Number three, focus on trying to control yourself and your response to how other people behave. If people don't follow through on what you've asked them to do, you get to decide what to think about it. You don't have to be angry. You can choose anger, but you don't have to choose anger. Remember, all of our emotions are a choice. When we learn to let people just be who they are, we'll be a lot calmer. We can then get their perspective on things from a place of curiosity, right? Rather than taking it personally. And if we're really, really honest here, most of us, even though we have different styles, want to control the world, right? We all have these manuals for other people so that we can feel differently. But I promise you, that's a long way around. And trying to control somebody else so that you can feel safe or better is truly exhausting, right? We've all tried this in some way, shape, or form, and it just never works. I hope you will take some time just to consider this concept and let it sort of seep into your point of view and your daily life. I know this framework has helped me tremendously. It's been a true perspective shifter, a different way to look at things. It's something that we constantly need to study and consider and then apply to improve, right? Our emotional well-being. And listen, the world, we've talked about this, is upside down right now, and our relationships are sacred, right? They're so, so important. There is so much we can do with how we lead within our own families, how we lead at work and in our communities, and frankly, how you show up in your own life just for you. It's all connected. It all matters. And perhaps now more than ever. Do this work. These podcasts are my offering to you. Decide. Make a decision. Just keep growing. To keep learning. To keep loving. And if you need help, reach out. These are the tools that make differences in our lives. You've been listening to Champion Your Life with me, Leanne Champion. I want you to remember one precious life. Godspeed.
Thank you for listening to Champion Your Life with me, Leanne Champion, on TransformationTalkRadio.com. To find out more about me and my coaching platform, visit championyourlife.com. That's championyourlife.com. You have one precious life. Let's live it to your fullest potential. Let's do this together. See you next time.